come real close to working on this message yesterday morning, but it had been on my mind all week long. And after I was sure, without any doubt about it at all, this is what the Lord wanted to preach this morning. I'd like to say this before I preach this morning, that this is a real strong doctrine message. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, preach the word. We're not going to be preaching there. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 12. But he told this young preacher, preach the word. He said, be instant in season, out of season. He said, reprove, rebuke, right, and exhort.
Amen.
And he said, for the time will come, they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and be turned from the truth to fables. Now, everybody don't like doctrine, but we all need doctrine.
Yes,
and God provides the doctrine that we call sound doctrine. Yes. And he gave him that charge. Paul didn't just mention this to him. He said, I charge you. He said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, his appearing and kingdom. And I done quoted these verses, but he said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. That word doctrine. He said, for the time will come, they'll not endure sound doctrine. You'll know here in a minute why I said that this is a strong doctrinal message. I'm a pastor, and what pastors do is they feed sheep. They tend to them. Preachers, evangelists, they just preach the word.
Right.
But a pastor needs to nurture. We've got young sheep here. We've got some like me that are older sheep. But we need to feed the flock of God as an under-shepherd. And being a pastor, I just want to tell you that this is a strong doctrinal message. I'm going to read a lot of verses here this morning. One reason I'm reading a lot of verses here this morning is because of this message being a strong doctrinal message. We're in Exodus chapter 12. Believe it or not, I'm going to read 41 verses. Oh my. 41. And I know the letter killeth and the spirit giveth life. And that's a lot of letter. But it's just so important doctrinally that I want to read starting in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of souls, that every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And I've highlighted this Bible so much I'm about to back up to read it. And they shall take of the blood, that's the doctrine, and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door post of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodded at all with water, but roast with fire his head, with his legs, with the pertinence thereof. You shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning, you shall burn with fire. Thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Very key word right there. Christ, our Passover lamb, slain for us. He said, for I will pass. This is how serious a doctrinal message this is. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. That little g is important. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood, again, the doctrine, so important. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. This is it. And when I see the blood, I'm preaching today on God seeing red, but I want to continue to read. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not come upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it for a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread, and in the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day to the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. That don't pertain to us, that pertains to Israel.
Right.
And he said, and in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this same day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at eve, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at eve. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitation. You shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that's in the basin, and strike the lintels, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that's in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning, for the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptian. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you come into the land which the Lord will give you according as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? Then you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passeth over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered your houses. And he bowed the head and worshiped. And the people bowed the head and worshiped. And the children of Israel went away and did as Moses had commanded. Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass, you ever heard the song at midnight? The midnight cry?
Yeah.
It came to pass that at midnight, all that God said he was going to do, at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn. This is the 10th judgment upon Egypt. God's been dealing with Egypt. They've been in denial. They've been refusing to comply. with all of the commands and all of the will of God. And it said at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses. I'm reading the verse 41 because I want you to see how God cared for His people in this impossible situation. And Pharaoh calls for Moses and Aaron by night. And he said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also." His time has expired to receive the blessing. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people. You know, the laughing has stopped. The joke is no longer there.
That's right.
It's got serious in Egypt.
Right.
The Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, "We be all dead men." And the people took their dough before it was leavened, and their kneading troughs been bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. You know, God saw to it they got the hire of the work that they'd done down there, because they've been working these Egyptians, they've been working these Israelites like sled dogs, and they've made it harder. It was more for less, by like the day we're living in. They made it hard for them to make the tail required without having straw. And anyway, they got their hire. They got their reward. They spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses. Anybody know what that word Ramses means? I mean, they're wondering who built the pyramids. Do the math. They journeyed from Ramses. You want to know who built the pyramids? I'll tell you exactly who built them. The Israelites built them. I can take the Bible there and prove it. But the Sukkoth, about 600,000 on foot, that were men besides children. Now, this is the bad part about what we're reading. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herd, even very much cattle. Our Sunday school lesson this morning kind of touched base a little bit on this mixed multitude. This mixed multitude went for the wrong reason. The one we talked about this Sunday school this morning, Ruth, she went for the right reason. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. God had told His servant Abraham, Genesis chapter 15, verse 13 through 14, He said that his seed would be a stranger in a strange land, and they would be there 400 years, and then they would come out. Now let me, I know I just quoted that, but let me read that because it so pertains to what we're reading right here. God had already told about these people being there. He'd already commented how long they'd be there. He told Abraham, He said, "Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that's not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance." That's why they left with so much spoil from the Egyptians. And it said, "And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the self same day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. That's kind of like our day coming. We're going to make a rapture. Amen. The world don't understand it. Egypt didn't understand this. And I want to stop right there and I want to preach today. You pray with me and for me on a message God's seeing read. Lord, we thank you for the precious word of God. We welcome it, Lord. Oh, Lord, we welcome your word today here. Ask God you might help us to glean from it, Lord. Yes. To learn, Lord, from your precious word. Lord, give, I pray, some handfuls on purpose here this morning. May there be some nuggets, I pray, found in this message, Lord, that will bring honor and glory to our Passover lamb, our precious lamb. Lord, help us, I pray, God, today, Lord, to take from this message today, Lord, not just instruction, but Lord, courage to know it won't be long. We'll be leaving out with great spoil. Right. We'll go like what Sister Carolyn sung, Lord. We'll go there beside the river where the streets are gold and the city is walls of jasper. We'll go there. We'll understand more then than we do now about our dilemma, Lord. We're not home yet. We're still, Lord, in Egypt. We know you're coming. We know the self-same day that you aim to come, we'll leave out and make our exodus. God help, I pray, and bless, I pray, our efforts today. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen.
Amen.
I'm preaching today on God's seeing red. It's a very serious doctrinal message. I make no bones about it. You won't hear this message very much anywhere else. You're privileged, really, to be here today to hear a message like this. Not because I'm so great a preacher, but because this text is so great about what we're going to be preaching about today.
Amen.
I dreamed last night. I had a week. I mean, we bought a brand new dryer, one of them that got the steam, you know, all the gadgets, you know, and it went belly up. And my wife wanted me to fix it. And I am Mr. Fix-It. Don't get me wrong. I do fix everything. But Mitchell, this thing here, I mean, it talks to you. It's got all them little, you know, like a smartphone stuff that I don't know a whole lot about. But anyway, the dryer works, but it don't dry. And I looked online on how to get in there and fix it. And I thought, well, before I do that, we better make sure that we had this thing no time. I don't avoid the warranty, Brother Mark. I'm just trying to use a little caution. And I told my wife, I said, is it still under warranty? She said, I believe it is. I said, well, you better make sure before I open the door on the thing. Because I don't want to avoid the warranty. We gave way up there for this dryer. But you know how it is when something ain't working. I got a little down. I was a little down yesterday. But I had some high this week, too.
Right.
I told way I went to the bank Monday and put some money in the bank. And I said, if you don't care about my balance there, because I'm not, somebody said, you believe in miracles? I said, yeah, if you see my check, yeah, do you believe in miracles too? I said, well, but I was expecting one of them little board lines slide in the hole. Checks go in about that day, and I went to put this money in there, and I said, if you don't care about my balance down. And she handed it to me, and I looked at that, and I said, something wrong. I looked at that balance, and I knew it wasn't supposed to have that many zeros on it. I said, something wrong here. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm kind of happy and concerned at the same time. I had mixed feelings
right.
about it.
Amen.
I thought, well, they made a mistake here. I mean, a girl this week, she had $1 million deposited in her checking account, and she wanted, even though it wasn't hers, she was a millionaire for a day, she wanted it put on her obituary. She said, I want it put on my tombstone. I was a millionaire for a day. But I didn't have $1 million, and they don't get me wrong, but I was a little afraid to spend it. I thought, what's going on here? She said, don't we give you a printout? I said, yeah, please. I took it home to the boss. I said, figure out what the heck's going on here. She looked at that Carolyn not wearing money. She like a bloodhound. She smelled of it. She said, somebody made a deposit in your checking account. Part of me said, woohoo. Another part of me said, well, that's going to cost something. You know, I'm sitting there like,
right.
You know how it is. You know? Anyway, make a long story short, we finally got a letter in the mail explaining Social Security made a determination they paid me enough money, so they gave me a lump sum to compensate for what they shorted me. I don't know how in the world they shorted me. Only in America can you draw what I draw on Social Security and still work. I'm sitting there thinking, praise the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, I was thinking this morning without Ruth going from Moab to Bethlehem. I feel a little bit like her myself, some handfuls on purpose. I mean, that was my money.
Amen.
It didn't belong to me, you know what I mean? Well, anyway, we ain't home yet. And you know, God, he's caring for us, and he's taking care of us. But this is a strong doctrinal message. I don't know about her dryer. I'll just have to find out tomorrow if it's still on the warrant. If it ain't, I'm going to tear into it and see what I can do about it. But anyway, I'd had kind of a week this week, you know, kind of up and down like a termite in a yo-yo. About half crazy anyway. But last night I dreamed a dream. And I want to throw this in there real quick. And I dreamed this dream, and for some reason I was in this big church. And I was getting ready to preach, and I couldn't find my glasses. I'm like Mr. Magoo. I can't do nothing without them glasses. And I'm trying to find my glasses, and I can't find them, and there are people offering me their glasses, and I mean, they just, you know what I mean? They just won't fix my problem. I can't see. I'm trying to see. Anyway, I decided I'd go to God in prayer, and I kneeled down there and started praying, and I heard other people coming, and I looked up there at Mark, and there's a military man kneeling down right beside me there, and I'm looking at this man, and he's got kind of black hair, but it's cut real short, it's cropped real short, almost like shaved, and he's a weeping. He's got his military uniform on, and I went for praying for me, for him. I said, Lord, help that man. He's got a need, and there's women coming up there, and they're weeping. I said, Lord, help them. And finally, it was all over with. I got up, and I said, well, I'm just going to have to wing this. But anyway, I started the preaching, and Miranda, the further I went, you know, I'm pretty bad about leaving the pulpit. The further I went back, the bigger it got. I mean, I'm looking, it's going down the halls. And my pastor was there, and he had this military man, and he's in a room, and I can hear him, and they're talking to him, and he's trying to explain to him what it means to be saved, and how we're not alone, we've been bought with a price, with the blood. And he's telling us, and doctoring, and I'm listening, and I'm getting a little heavenly man that's encouraging me. And finally, I'm kind of like a blind dog in a meat house. I mean, it's smelling pretty good. It's feeling pretty good. I mean, it's just falling. I know what to do with. And, you know, I woke up and about three sheets in the Holy Ghost, and still am. Make no apology for it. But I was pretty sure that the Lord wanted me to preach this message this morning. And I was really sure when Brother Jerry picked up that song about victory in Jesus, he sought me and bought me with his precious blood. Now, God is coming to our Egypt, and when he does come to this Egypt, he's looking for something in red. He's looking for the blood of the Passover Lamb of God, which was sacrificed for us, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Now God has told us a lot about the blood. He said, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. A 25-year-old Olympic skater just this week, young boy, was being robbed. And, you know, when somebody comes around, the best thing you do, not even, unless you got a gun. If you got a Glock, well, I say, yeah, just hit it right there and be done with it. No, just make sure you finish it. But anyway, he tried to fight these robbers off, Brother Mitchell. And they stabbed him in the leg. You got major arteries in your leg.
Yes, right.
And a 25-year-old boy, healthy, Olympic skater, literally bled to death before they could get him to the hospital. They didn't know put a tourniquet on. God said the life of the flesh is in the blood.
Yes, that is
right.
He went on to say, Brother Ed, and I have given it upon the altar.
Yes, it did.
To make atonement for your souls.
Right.
You know, this is a pretty serious message. I'm trying to take my time. I'm pretty bad about spitting. So I'm really taking my time here, Carolyn. I don't want to miss anything in this message that I need to say.
Amen.
And God gave His blood. He poured out His soul unto death at Calvary to ransom us back from sin.
Yes.
In the Old Testament, in I think it's in the book of Proverbs. Who can give God, it may be Proverbs or Psalm, who can give God a ransom for their soul, for the redemption of their soul is precious. Peter said, we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of God, without spot, without blemish. Most precious thing there is, Brother Mitchell. Is the royal red blood that Jesus was willing to give for our sakes.
That's right. Amen.
This is my blood of the New Testament.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Which is shed for you.
Yeah.
There was no other way.
No other way.
willingly gave his blood. You talking about, I mean, a blood donor saved my life.
Amen.
He willingly gave his blood so I could go free.
Yeah.
See, I couldn't pay my way out of debt. And I'm not talking about all the debt I owe. I owe a lot of debt there too. But this right here is a great debt.
That's right.
I mean, I owe more than I owe more than I could pay.
Yeah. That's right.
Somebody said that he paid a debt he did not owe, and I owed a debt I could not pay. That's a pretty fair statement there.
Yes, it is.
How don't you know, buddy? We wasn't redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, 1 Peter 1, verse 19. Now here's where we're going to get serious in this message. Now you listen real good, Brother Ed. I'm not going to stutter. But you listen real good. Some so-called churches, I can name them, I'm not going to. Some so-called churches have removed the songs about the blood out of their songbooks. This is true.
Right.
And they call the doctrine of the blood atonement of His Son Jesus that cleanses us from all sin, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. They call that a slaughterhouse religion, and they refuse to have songs in their songbooks about the blood. By the way, that is Scripture, Isaiah 53, verse 7. He's led as a lamb to the slaughter. And, you know, God's looking for something red. I have had the blood applied. My sins are in the blood. Somebody said an atheist one time was arguing with a preacher about the blood atonement. And he said, how can you prove to me that the blood makes atonement my sin? He said, okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. And he done something simple. Well, Joanne, he took a glass of water and he said, see this quarter? He said, yeah. He said, this is your sin. He put it in that water. And he said, where's your sin? He said, in the bottom of that cup. Then he took a glass of, I don't remember if it was wine or grape juice or may even been tomato juice, I don't know. But he took a quarter. He dropped in that glass, Brother Mitchell, and he said, now where's your sin? He said, I don't know. I can't see him.
Right.
I can't see it.
Amen.
It's hid.
That's right.
I'm telling you, buddy, I had to have a covering. Right. The fig leaves just won't do it. I'll just tell you right now.
That's right.
You know, we need a covering.
Yes.
God provided us a covering.
Yes, He did.
That's why I'm complete in Him. That's why I'm redeemed, saved, justified, as good as already there. I'm already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And some people just can't see the forest for the trees.
They can't.
That's right.
Or the trees for the forest. I don't know. But anyway, some so-called churches, and I say that with charity and love, some so-called churches have missed the most important doctrine of the church is salvation by the blood of God's Son Jesus. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Listen, I'm allergic to pain. I don't like pain. I don't want to have to suffer. I'm telling you, these churches are missing it. God said, I gave my blood. I purchased a church with my blood. He gave His blood for our sins to be forgiven. I'm telling you, thank God for the blood. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Now let me go a little further.
Yeah.
Some churches, and I will name these because this is a damnable heresy. I do believe that you could probably be saved in those churches that have ignorantly removed the songs about the blood out.
That's right.
If they're still preaching the Word of God. Because we're begotten by the Word.
Yeah.
We're bought by the blood.
That's right.
But the Word of God,
amen,
introduces us to the blood of Jesus.
That's right.
And I wouldn't mention those churches I could, but I won't. Rick tells me, he says it's the unkind, the wrong kind. But I will mention these others. And I'll tell you right now why I do. Because this is a damnable heresy. There are some that believe, Sister Miranda, that their own blood needs to be shed for their own sins.
Yeah, right. Yes, amen.
They're called Mormons.
Right. Amen.
By the way, the Mormon capital of the United States of America is Utah. You may not know this, but old Brother Ed, I do my homework.
Yeah.
Amen.
They still believe that if you got to be executed in the firing squad.
Yeah.
Right.
They do.
Right.
I'm telling you the truth.
Right. Yeah.
In the Book of Mormon, Brother Mark, this is profound. It says in the Book of Mormon, when you love your brother enough to shed his own blood for him, for his sin, if he refuses to do so, listen, brother, I love you, but it wouldn't do me no good to cut your head off.
No,
that's right. Amen.
You know what? That's a damn of heresy. My blood has no benefit at all, and it keeps me alive.
That's right.
It's not going to make atonement. I don't care how many times I cut and bleed, I'm telling you, the blood that Jesus so preciously gave to Calvary.
That's right.
God said, I accept that. He said, there remain no more need for sacrifice. I accept that. You accept that, I accept you on that
day. Amen. That's right.
But this damnable heresy of teaching someone that they can somehow achieve godhood, that's what the Mormons are called, God makers. That they can somehow just keep climbing up and climbing up and finally reach a level where they're like God is blasphemy.
That's right.
You know, it's ungodly that someone would think that they could somehow get into God's family or God's home without the help of the Lord.
Right.
Their book.
You're right.
And I have read a lot of it. I worked with a man that was a Mormon. And maybe they draw this from Hebrews 9:22, which does say, without the shedding of blood, no remission of sin. That may be what they're getting that from, but it's not just any blood. I mean, in the same chapter, it talks about the blood of bulls and goats. Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
It was just a temporary thing, just till the real lamb showed up. But God, He's out for blood. And not just any blood will do. When He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over, He's talking about the precious blood of His Son. Now, in Genesis chapter 4, there's two men making an offering. That's early. That's the first two men that's mentioned in the Bible that make an offering, Miranda. One of them offers up the fruit of the field. You ever heard old saying, Sister Joanne, you can't get blood out of a turnip? That may be where this proceeded from. I don't know. I know it was probably made years ago. But he polished them turnips up. Made it in the maters, you know, and maybe had some corn. I don't know. But God didn't receive. He rejected. Cain got mad.
Right. Yes, he did.
Abel brought a first son of the flock and offered to God, which pictured Christ. And God had respect to Abel's offering, and he received it. Cain got mad and he killed his brother. You know, that's the first death recorded in the Bible, and it was over religion.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you today, a lot of people just don't want sound doctrine.
Right.
That's right.
And you know, we've got down to a day in this country.
That's right.
Where there's enmity over doctrine.
Right.
That's right.
They stoned Stephen and they put their hands over their ears. They stopped up their ears and he's telling the truth, and they stoned him and killed him. That's what happening in our day and time.
That's right. Exactly right.
This doctrine about the blood, that event that happens here in Exodus chapter 12, it's coming again.
Yes, right. It is.
Now listen, everybody ain't leaving. But everybody that said, Lord, you gave your life for me, I want you to forgive me. Yeah. I want you to save. It ain't hard to get saved. It's hard to get lost.
Yeah.
But it ain't hard to get saved at all. All you got to do is call upon Him. It's rich in mercy to all that call upon Him. I mean, in the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow.
Right.
Every tongue is going to confess. No other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us out of worship and a regeneration. Amen.
Amen. Come on.
I'm just telling you this. Already in the mind of God, He told Moses and Aaron what to do.
Yeah.
They did.
Right.
They came out with great spoil, right. With great substance. They came out.
Right.
We're leaving out one of these days, Rita. Right. I'm going first class.
That's
right. There you
go. I ain't never flown in my life, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to take a flight. And I'm sitting in first class. I mean best with everybody. Hallelujah. When I do finally fly, Karen, it's going to be out of this world. Amen.
Amen.
There you go.
Somebody said, why ain't you ever flown? I couldn't afford it. Ain't nowhere I wanted to go. I've always been a homeboy. And I tell you what, I just been a little speck here in Glasgow, Barron County. It's all I've ever known. I've never been nowhere. But I'm going somewhere. That's praise right. God, transportation yeah. provided, Brother Mitchell.
That's right.
But Cain killed his brother, Genesis 4, verse 8. And the first death recorded was over religion. But not only is Jesus returning to this earth, but boy, is he mad.
That's right.
I'm spending this a little while here. You know, God, he ain't got dove's eyes no more.
Right.
Those dove's eyes are peaceful.
Yeah.
You can look at a dove's eye, just look in its eye, you can get peace. Mm-hmm. But that disciple whom Jesus loved,
that's right.
John, he's been exiled on the Isle of Patmos for doctrinal reasons.
Right.
He won't quit preaching Jesus. And they just can't. They tried to kill him, Karen. Yeah. They throwed him in a vat of oil and oil. And he just come out of it alive and they're scared of him.
Yeah.
So they put him on an island called Patmos. And he's exiled out there. And he tells you, he said, I, John, your companion. And he said, I'm exiled on the Isle of Patmos for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And as he's sitting there giving a little testimony there, he said, I heard behind me a voice as of a trumpet.
Yeah,
that's right.
A little further in Revelation chapter 1, I probably should be specific here. I'm throwing some stuff out here. But John, that disciple whom Jesus loved, heard behind him a voice as of a trumpet. And when he turned to see that voice that spake with him, John said that when he saw him, he said, I fell at his feet as dead.
Yeah.
Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. Now the reason John fell at Jesus' feet as dead, he doesn't have dove eyes no more. Solomon, Song of Solomon chapter 1, verse 15. I need to put these verses in here for people to be listening to this by way of internet. But John said he had eyes of fire. Revelation chapter 1, verse 14. Now, I know people have a misconception of Jesus. Saul had a misconception of Jesus. He didn't fear God. He thought he was doing God's bidding. He went around arresting Christians, killing Christians, consenting to their death, and run headlong into the chief of the Christians and had to ask him who he was.
Yeah.
Who art thou? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest.
Yeah.
You can imagine what Saul felt like then.
Yeah, that's right.
Like,
uh-oh.
You know what I mean?
Amen.
Jesus was nice enough. He said, it's hard for thee to kick against the bricks.
That's right.
He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. He made it personal. He said, I'm the one you've been picking on, boy.
Yeah.
I don't know what he thought about Jesus, Jerry. Maybe he thought, you know, he's just a little drunk or something.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, he fainted. I mean, he went down. John went down. There's a whole lot more to this Jesus than the world thinks.
Right.
But he's mad.
Man.
He's coming back. Not only is he mad, I'm glad I've had the blood applied.
Right.
I'm telling you, Paul, recounting that event of running into Jesus, he said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, he said, we persuade men. What are you persuading to do, Brother Paul? Get ready to meet him. He's coming and boys,
right.
He mad.
Amen.
Can you imagine this earth, the day we're living in, when people are lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, when the churches are empty, and there's only one car in the parking lot, and he's still coming.
Amen. That's good. Come on.
And he's mad, Carolyn.
Yeah, that's right.
And I got a feeling a lot of people's going to be in for a rude awakening.
That's right.
They're going to say something like, I didn't expect you. And he said, I've been telling you I was coming. I've been having my preachers preach, I'm coming. Matter of fact, he said in an hour, you think not, I'm coming.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, he's coming. I'm glad I had the blood blood. I'm glad I'm good to go.
Right.
That's well on my soul.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I just soon leave as a stay. I want to stay here as long as the Lord will allow me, but when he's ready, I'm ready.
Yes.
I'm coming. I'm leaving. I'm out of here. Man, they can hide this madness down here. Glory. How in the world do we make it any worse than what it already is? They want an America without God.
That's right.
And we got some people up on the payroll. And they wrap a towel around their head and think they're something. And now they expect me to have some kind of respect for them. Well, they don't have no respect for me. They don't have to have no respect for me. But I got a feeling that towel's going to fall off when he shows up. You know what I mean? How I hate to get the little bird here this morning. But listen, God ain't looking for no, was it, they pray five times a day? That's good. But you better have the blood.
That's right.
Amen.
I'm telling you, buddy, he's coming. He's seeing red.
Coming.
I'm glad I'm covered. I had a woman knock on my door one morning. I didn't really want to answer the door. I've been in the upper room all night long. I've been enjoying the moment. I mean, I've been up there praying and reading my Bible, behaving myself. But Mitch, I'm still feasting off the message I heard at Bethel Baptist Church that evening there. And I'm up there and I told my wife, I said, honey, if you don't care, go on to bed. I'm going to go upstairs tonight, spend the night with the Lord. And she said, I did it. Went to bed. I mean, she didn't argue with me. I went up there. Man, it's done the next morning. The sun's coming up. Birds are singing. And I heard this. I said, no way. I'm not coming down. I'm not coming down. And this woman knocked again. You probably like this here in a minute. She knocked again. And I said, I ain't coming down. Finally, she knocked again. I thought, well, I'm going to have to go down. Nobody's going to get up. They're all in their sleep. So, Mark, I go down and open up this door. This very petite, grandmotherly type lady. I mean, you know, I got me a haircut this week. I couldn't get all my, you know, that same God said, let there be light. I was kind of hoping he'd say, let there be hair on me. You know what I mean? I got me a haircut this week. I couldn't get all my hair. I need the hair net out there at work and try to trim up her a little bit. But anyway, this very petite, grandmotherly type lady standing there. And Marin, I don't know what the heck. I mean, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. I've been up all night long. Man, I've been having a big time. I mean, I'm three sheets in the Holy Ghost. I mean, I'm kind of like Peter. We can't deny the charge, but we can't deny the Spirit. I got the right Spirit.
Amen.
But anyway, she says, sir, I'm selling cancer insurance. Would you be interested in any? Now, her name's Sharon, but no reflection. I'm only going to tell her first name. It ain't nothing to do with this Sharon. But this lady's name was Sharon. She lived in Bowling Green. I won't say no more. But anyway, she said, I'm selling cancer insurance. Now, understand my state of mind. I'm not in my right mind right now.
That's right.
And I answered this lady here. I said, ma'am, I'm covered by the blood. I said, it covers everything. And it's
there
just took all the wind out of her sales pitch. And she took a step back. And she said, sir, I perceive you're a Christian. And I said, you perceive well, ma'am, for so I am.
Amen.
Then she said,
right,
I'm a Christian too. And I just read a little bit there in the Bible. You know what I mean? I mean, and the Bible talked about if anybody extended the hand of fellowship, you're supposed to sit. So she sticks her hand out. She said, I'm a Christian. Do what I do like a dummy. I shook her hand. And Rita, I said, would you like to come in my house and have a glass of tea?
Oh.
And she said, sir, I'd love to. Now, I'm going to tell you something, buddy. Try the spirits. Don't be as dumb as old Brother Eddie. I don't do this no more. Try the spirits, whether they're of God or not. If not every spirit confesses Christ of God. Everybody knows the spirit of Christ, spirit of Antichrist, anyway. Look, I invite this woman in my house. My babies is in bed. My wife's back there in bed. And here me and Sharon are in the kitchen. And I fix her a glass of tea. If that ain't enough, Brother Mitchell, I'm so spiritual. I said, Sharon, the Bible said if you so much as give a glass of cold water in His name, you'll be rewarded. I said, I give this glass of tea to you in the name of Jesus. It changed.
Come on.
I mean, it changed everybody. tried to drink it, Karen. She spilled it everywhere. She tried with both hands.
Amen.
And she's spilling this tea everywhere.
Amen.
I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I mean, reason I ain't got no hair on top of my head. It done stood up like that. Like straight up, you know. I'm sitting there thinking, this don't look good. Mm-mm. About that time, she set this glass of tea down in our kitchen counter there. Miranda, she started snarling and growling.
Ooh.
And I mean, the hair on my back started standing up.
Amen.
I'm sitting there thinking, what the heck is going on here? Hey, this is what happened. I mean, this ain't far-fetched. This went on at 9,000 in the road, out there on the glass road in the road. I'm sitting there thinking, this cannot be happening in my house. She goes over there. Really, she falls right down there by the kitchen sink. And she's a snarling and a growling. I'm sitting there thinking, oh my God, what have I done? And I'm thinking, okay, you're the head of the house. You need to do something. And I was down there, Brother Ed. I went over there with a trembling finger, and I touched her on the shoulder. I said, are you all right? And when I touched her, Sharon, she come up off of that counter. Now, just imagine where them flowers are in that corner. That's all I've got. And she leaps at me like this right here. And I mean, I'm crouching down in the corner because there's no way to run. I'd lift them all. I'd run one out of my shoe. There's no way to run. You know, Bible says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When there's no place to run, you'll stand. Yeah, I wouldn't run. I'd lift in a heartbeat. I'd figure out some way to get out of that. I'd have got out of that. But here I am. I crouch down. She comes down on me. And I done read in that Bible, know about them seven sons of that one seed that took on themselves, cast out a devil. That devil said, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, who are you? And one man leaped up on those seven. They left that house wounded and naked. I'm telling you, I understood my dilemma. I sat there thinking, anyway, he's fixing to die right here in his own kitchen. She's fixing to tear my head off.
Yeah.
Thank God for the blood.
That's right.
She come down on me, Joanne.
Amen.
I'm persuaded this day even more than even then. God drew a line and said, no, that's mine. And still, she never even touched me. She just come down on me like this right here. Then she turned right out of the house. I said, we prayed over our house, Carolyn. My wife, we're more spiritual back then than we are now. I may be close to what was back then. Back then, we was really spiritual. And my wife, we went through that house knowing it with oil, and we prayed this prayer, Brother Jerry. Lord, if any unclean spirit ever comes in our house, don't let it stay. Make it leave.
Yeah.
And she goes out of our house, Brother Mark, y'all do this too. Y'all younger than I am. Y'all get along. Well, if the Lord tarries, y'all got a long line down there. I got 1 foot in the grave, and nothing ain't far from it. Anyway, she went out of my house, and I thought, phew, and she come back. And she come in my house again. Going down there, and I'm sitting there thinking, this is not good. She went out again, Brother Mitchell. And she come back in again.
Oh.
About 5 times, and here come my wife down the hall. What's going on? I said, you got to see this. About that time, here she comes. She said, what the heck? I said, I don't know, but I think find out. The Bible says, try the spirits, whether God, I think try the spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
So I mean, she shot out again. Here she comes back. She come in our house. I said, Sharon, come here right now. I want to talk to you. She stopped dead in her tracks. She come over to me. I'm still a gentleman. I pulled the chair out. She sat down. I scooted up her table. My wife, being 10 times smarter than me, sat at the other end of the table, and I, being dumb as I am, I sat down right beside her. And I'm trying the spirits now, Carolyn. So I said, Sharon, I said, are you sure you're saved? And she grabbed her throat, looked real funny, like, why can't I talk? I just kind of made a determination because she done like this. She never said a word. She said, and my wife, you know, women talk a little different than men do. She said, honey, where are you going with your dad? Again, she started to talk, grabbed her throat, pointed the flyers on the table. So, Brother Jerry, I done had about all this I'd take. And I said, Sharon, y'all listening real good right here. I said, Sharon, are you sure you're saved by the blood of Jesus? When I said the blood of Jesus came, she screamed bloody murder, pulled her dress over top of her head, kicked the chair back, shot out of our house, got in her car, gravel flying everywhere, and I didn't know it the next day, but she totaled her car within a mile of the house, in the hospital. Well, I'm going through the story, and I've got time to tell right here. Let me tell you this. It makes a difference.
Yes.
To have the blood. It made a difference. Me being alive here today, I ain't got my head tore off. It's still on there.
Right.
May not be much of it, but it's there. It's mine.
Right.
Good hat, Rack.
Yeah. Amen.
Hey, it made a difference in what she said she was. Because that's how you test the spirit.
Yeah. Right.
By the blood of Jesus.
That's right.
And God's coming. He's seeing red. He's looking for the blood. I'm glad the blood's been applied.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes.
I'm glad it's well in my soul.
That's
yes.
Right.
Father, we thank you for the privilege to deliver this message today. I don't know, Lord, how it went to these. I know how it went to me. It was a blessing to my heart and my soul. Lord, to know the great lengths you went just to give your blood for lost humanity. And your blood truly does cleanse us from all sin. You did redeem us, Lord, with your blood. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price, with the precious blood. Lord, I'm convinced all these that are here today are saved. I'm convinced. I don't have any doubts about it at all. Lord, I pray that they'll remember that it took the blood to redeem them from sin. And I pray they'll hold it dear. I pray they'll tell others it's the blood that makes a difference. And not my blood and not their blood, but the blood of Jesus that makes a difference. And I pray, Lord, somebody hear this message by way of the internet and this sound doctrine that's been delivered here today. That, Lord, they'll do like those Bereans that were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the Word of God with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily where those things were so in Acts 17 verse 11. I pray they will search these Scriptures out. I pray they will find out that everything I've said here today is doctrinally true. And Lord, all the praise and glory belong to you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you for bearing with me. That's probably the longest message I ever preached here. Get Brother Jerry, please, maybe just sing an invitational hymn and we'll let you go.